This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
One step closer to an invasion, that's what U.S. officials believe is happening with Russia as they still toddle on the border of the Ukraine. What does it mean for the United States and what does it mean for our allies? A couple of things, including we probably jump in, but how far do we go? Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks so much, as always, for joining us on this weekday as we motor through the beginning of February. In just a week, it'll be Valentine's Day. What do you love and who do you love? That's things that Hallmark cards talk about. And the big giant reminders that we see everywhere. I was just assaulted by chocolates when I went into the store today, and you're probably seeing the very same thing. All right, it's an assault of a different kind when we talk in all seriousness about what's been happening in the Ukraine, and I've talked about this so much, and I've talked with scholars, and we've talked with some Ukrainian people on this show in the past, and I've talked to people that I know that have seen similar dealings with Vladimir Putin. I said from the start, it's really a land grab for him. He wants the Ukraine. That's it. This is a full-on crisis. There is no question about that at this point. Biden is now getting tougher talk-wise, vowing to shut down Nord Stream 2 if Russia invades. So what is Nord Stream 2? Well, Nord Stream 2 is gas, is what we're talking about, a gas pipeline. And during a news conference after an Oval Office meeting, Biden was very explicit, the most I've ever heard him, actually, said the project wouldn't go forward if Russia invades the Ukraine. So this is a tough stance, and this is one that's taken weeks to get to, but is a key point of discussion with the new German Chancellor, Olaf Scholz, who revealed a big gap between himself and the United States on that massive pipeline. Scholz refused to even name the project during a news conference and declined to even commit to ending the pipeline if an invasion moves ahead, which causes problems for his foreign minister during a visit to the Ukraine. So once again, Scholz repeating his vow to remain aligned with the U.S., but not clarifying what the intentions are for Nord Stream. Nord Stream's a big damn deal. That's what it is. It is for Germany, and it is money-wise, follow the money, for the Germans as well. So Scholz, I don't think, wants to shut this down. During his news conference, he said this. He said, I say to our American friends, we will be united. We will act together. We will take all the necessary steps, and all the necessary steps will be done by all of us together. In fact, he even switched to English to make his point to a bigger audience of Americans, who, of course, are concerned at Germany's willingness to confront Putin or stay in bed with Putin, so to speak, because of this Nord Stream pipeline. It transmits Russian natural gas under the Baltic Sea to Germany, avoiding the Ukraine. And it underscores the predicament that he's in confronting Russia for their aggressions all over Europe. And they're heavily, heavily dependent on Russian energy. So if he comes out swinging, which America and the other allies want, it would probably, if certainly would impose severe punishment, I would think, including perhaps a shut off of oil and gas during these cold winter months. So what is the U.S. doing? I mean, do you ask Germany, hey, too bad, step up and take a swing because we need you to? Then you got to come up with the alternative. So the U.S., our country, has been searching the globe for an alternative supply of that energy. that could be diverted to Europe from Asia to the Middle East to domestic American suppliers. How successful? Mum is the word. Very hard to get a read on this. But the U.S. opposes the pipeline and has absolutely said they won't go forward should Putin decide to invade. So they oppose the pipeline. They stated clearly it won't go forward, not they. It won't go forward if Putin should invade. So that would be the end of Nord Stream 2. To me, that spells out war. What then is the counterattack from the Russians? So what a precarious predicament Germany is in, but also the U.S. is as well. Because how frustrating is Germany unwilling to do this? Well, they're unwilling, I think, because of this energy dependence on Russia. So what kind of deterrence measures are they going to offer when they need that pipeline? It's about whatever that alternative is. You got to think Russia last invaded the Ukraine in 2014. Merkel, who was the chancellor then, played a big role as a go-between for Putin and Germany's allies. She spoke with him consistently, encouraged other leaders to step up sanctions to punish Moscow for annexing the Crimea. She also played a central role in keeping Washington updated because of the close relationship she had with our then President Barack Obama. But this is different leadership, and this is definitely a different attitude. Schultz has not been visible in trying to defuse this crisis, and I think there's no question about it. The concern is over the pipeline. Why do I open with this? Because this hinges in a couple of different directions as to what the U.S. ultimately, as our role is obviously very big here, what will we decide if Putin keeps pushing, right? Yeah, absolutely. In the meantime, something you might not be thinking about, but I'm thinking about it because I live in an area where luckily we just had a storm. I say luckily because it provided a lot of moisture, but something that is happening in your backyard and mine, depending on where you live. But as we roll through what's ever left of this pandemic that takes us into hopefully an endemic, and that's where we end off, you know, you look at what's going on with water supplies, right? Speaking of gas and the problem that they have in Germany. In so many cases in the United States, it's about a drought. It's about supplies dwindling in parts of the United States. You think of the big wildfires we just came out of months ago in California, and California currently is still under those conditions. There's actually a website you can go to look up your area, drought.gov, and it's updated every week. It shows the location and intensity of the drought across the country and the system that they have. And in the United States, as of the beginning of February, 46% of the U.S., 55% of the lower 48 states are in a drought, and it depends on where you are as to how severe it is, but it's affecting crops in the United States, and that's experiencing crippling supplies that in a supply chain that's already weak in getting some crops to market. Wow, stay with us.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe Maybe you need one of our smaller, lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name is Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com. Or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. Or by calling 818-965-9113.
Joined by Nancy Kerrigan. Wow, what a thrill. It's the 30th anniversary of Albertville and the bronze medal that she won. And she captured my heart right away, just a tremendous skater. And I'm so excited to talk to her about a really cool NFT because it's the start of the games. And thanks to Dolphin Entertainment, they've made this possible. They've announced the upcoming availability of this new NFT digital collectible program that brings together the worlds of comic book heroes and groundbreaking athletes like Nancy Kerrigan. So winter sports, of course, champions. She's here for that. There's no question about it. The Winter Sports Champions Collection will be released in partnership with FTX.us, allowing fans to purchase the NFTs with credit and debit cards, very cool, as well as cryptocurrency. Here to tell us about her NFT and talk about the Olympics is Nancy Kerrigan. Nancy, thanks so much for coming on.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
So let's talk about, I mean, it's the 30th anniversary of that. I would be remiss not to ask you, what was that moment like for you after all that hard work getting there?
Oh, it was amazing to be able to represent the United States and be at the Olympic Games with all these other athletes. My favorite part, looking back, is still marching in the opening ceremonies and being part of a team. As a single athlete, I'm out there on the ice alone, but to be there among the best in all their sports was just an honor. So, and then once it's done and come home with a medal, it's just like icing on the cake. But it was not my best, and that's why I wanted to stay in. So, you know, I just wanted to get out there and represent even better, and so I was so lucky to be able to go again. But 30 years later, I can't believe it. Time goes so fast. It's It just means I'm getting old.
Nah, you look great. So as you look at Beijing, and especially from your point of view, when you see Mariah Bell and you see Chen and you see Lu, are you just rooting them on because you know what it takes to be there?
Absolutely. One of their team leaders is a good friend of mine. She asked me to write a letter to them, and so I did. And I feel bad they're going. It's such a weird time in our lives, like dealing with COVID and not being able to have that same experience of like meeting people. And, you know, it's just different. But hopefully on the ice, doing what they love, they can still get that gratification of being at the Olympics. I really hope they get that because it's such an amazing opportunity to be a part of, and to be able to represent your country it's amazing and an honor. So
it's
fun to watch. I was already watching one of the hockey games, USA women's playing today, and watching Hillary Knight and Kendall Coyne, Schofield, you know, already killing it out there. So it's so fun to watch.
Yeah, I was doing the same thing. So tell us about your NFT. I mean, how exciting. And, you know, a lot of people don't even know. What is a non-fungible token? I bet you know all about it now.
Well, I mean, I'm still learning. My brain's still like, I like the cards where I still get them in the mail every day from people they're 30 years old and still people wanting me to sign it. So this is still, I'm still trying to come up to date with this, but it is so exciting. And to be depicted as a hero, a superhero, and be drawn by a Marvel artist, I mean, it's pretty amazing opportunity. And someone asked to be a part of such a collection of great athletes. I mean, it's an honor to be still thought of this many years later and to be put up with these other great athletes. It's amazing. They asked me like what colors I like and different things like that. So I love green, and they have a green cape and some gloves, and it's just cool to be looked at like this. It's funny. My son posted like my mom's a superhero and posted a picture of it. So it's kind of funny. It's cool.
And I think we can roll that NFT so some people can see it. If we have it, if we have footage of that, we'll show it. But it is incredible. It is beautiful. Like you said, green is your favorite color. And looking at that NFT, just the dress, too. Tell us about that. I mean, how they depicted that.
Yeah, well, that wasn't the first choice. The first one I thought, it's not something I'd ever wear. So, you know, gave different ideas of styles I like. And it, boom, it was like just so much better and cooler. And I don't know. I mean, I guess that's a part of getting to know someone that's drawing you and creating costumes. And it looks, I've done Halloween on Ice for, I guess, pretty much 30 years. So, or 28 years. And I was like, ooh, this would be a fun character. I was like trying to think of what music would go to this. I don't know. We'll see.
Have fun. And I just have to ask you, because you mentioned your son, are your kids good skaters?
No, my oldest is 25. He's a costume designer, actually. He works with someone who's done stuff with Marvel. So he's in New York working on Coco Melon right now. But my younger two, Brian is a gymnast, level 10 gymnast, competing all over the place. We're traveling like crazy this year for this. And then my youngest is a dancer. Nicole is in a conservatory ballet school. So they are driven people, which helps make my job a little bit easier because they have big goals.
Well, I know you have to talk to other people, but tell us where we can find this fabulous NFT and all this stuff.
Well, you can go to dolphinnfts.com to find more information and to find out about all of it. So hope you check it out because it's pretty cool. It's really awesome to be part of this group and all these other great athletes.
Well, we thank you for coming on, and thanks to Dolphin for making this happen, and can't wait to see where all this goes. Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you very much.
All right, the great Nancy Kerrigan. You heard her talking there about sending a letter to pump up the figure skaters because she has a friend connected with the U.S. team and how she feels badly for the U.S. team because it's a little bit of a different experience, obviously, with the COVID world that we live in. It's interesting because the men's short programming right now is going on, and Nathan Chen, who is our superstar, one of our superstars, and is the favorite for a gold medal, had the short program just moments ago, and he was absolutely incredible. I mean, the guy has so much athletic prowess and grace, actually, just incredible footwork. He does these high-flying quadruple jumps. And he easily fell into place where he's on top of the leaderboard. If you looked at a technical score, which is what they're looking at for all the jumps and all of that, he's got a 65.98, so pretty tough to knock him off. That's great because, again, this is the road to glory. This is the road to gold. And for the U.S., boy, we need those gold medals. Now, there were a couple of medals that were won in other events, certainly, and we've talked about those. One of the exciting things to see was Ryan Cochran Siegel, who won a silver medal 50 years after his mother, Barbara Corcoran, won gold in a slalom at the Sapporo Games. How about that? Her son wins a silver in the Super G on Tuesday. An incredible event for him, a hot run, just flew down the course. He finished 0.04 seconds behind Austria's Mayer, who won the gold for second consecutive games, but he was right there on his heels. And it's funny because this family, the Cochran Siegel family, his grandparents built a ski area on their property in rural Vermont in 1961. All four of the children went on to represent the U.S. at the Olympics, and grandchildren, you've got Cochran Siegel and Jimmy Cochran, who are part of that family tradition. Isn't that something with how hard it is to qualify? But this family has a big, big lock on that. So bravo to them, and bravo really to him for being able to continue that. And then there was the story of Eileen Gu, who won the gold medal in women's freestyling big air at the Olympics. She does go to school at Stanford. She does live in San Francisco, but she's competing for China, where her mother grew up. So she's a Chinese-American young woman. She thrilled the crowd, though, in her adopted home country with an incredible final run to win that gold medal in big air freestyle. So then it comes to the medal count. And, of course, this keeps shifting from day to day, and we're still really looking for that gold medal, and there are a couple of incredible athletes that could get us over that hump, us meaning America. But really, it's the Russians that have dominated in some of the early rounds that are medal rounds. But it is still early in these games, and there's so much more to come that I think the medal count will get higher for the United States as we move on. But if we look now currently where the U.S. is, a total of four medals, four silver medals. How about that? Coming up, your thoughts as we hit the mailbag.
In the United States, heart failure impacts more than 6 million adults, leading to about 1 million hospitalizations each year. Heart failure is a long-lasting condition in which the heart is unable to pump enough blood to meet the body's needs for blood and oxygen. But there are things people can do in consultation with their healthcare provider to help manage their disease. This is true for Ray, who is currently living with heart failure.
I find that communications with my doctors is key. This includes notifying them of any changes in heart failure symptoms and listening to their advice.
To help support people living with heart failure by providing educational resources, Merck, in collaboration with Mended Hearts, has introduced At the Heart of the Matter, Moving Forward After Your Heart Failure Hospitalization.
While it can be discouraging at first to hear that you have heart failure, you eventually find out you aren't alone in this journey.
Learn more, know more. Visit attheheartofthematter.com for more information. This segment is brought to you by Merck.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
You USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
At least one person was killed and another was injured in a shooting at a grocery store in Richland, Washington. Police responded to the Fred Meyer store Monday morning after reports of shots fired. Commander Chris Lee is with the Richland Police Department.
The suspect and the deceased male from inside had some sort of interaction inside the store. We don't know exactly to what extent that was, but they did have a conversation.
Lee says they are looking for a suspect through every lead. The other shooting victim was in critical condition as of Monday afternoon. The Supreme Court voted 5-4 to halt a lower court ruling that would have forced Alabama to draw new congressional districts. The lower court ruled that the map Alabama submitted likely violated the Federal Voting Rights Act. On Wall Street, the Dow was flat, the NASDAQ and S&P 500 was down. You're listening to USA Radio News. President Biden and Germany's new president, Olaf Scholz, were talking about how to defuse the crisis between Russia and Ukraine. The Kremlin has amassed thousands of troops at the border, and there is a belief that an invasion can happen at any moment. While Biden and Scholz were talking, Russian President Vladimir Putin was doing the same with French President Emmanuel Macron. Biden and Scholz says if Russia invades Ukraine, a critical Russia-to-Germany gas pipeline will be blocked. Putin contends that it's the U.S. and its allies the only ones talking invasion. Governors in four states are planning to end mask mandates in schools in the coming weeks. Connecticut, Delaware, New Jersey, and Oregon made announcements Monday. They are among a dozen states with mask mandates in schools, according to the National Academy for State Health Policy. Meanwhile, California announced plans to end indoor masking requirements for vaccinated people next week, but masks will still be required in schools in the Golden State. This is USA Radio News.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
The mailbag is full. First one up, Carl. Thanks for your email. Carl says, Kate, call me the unmasked man at this point. I am so tired of all the nonsense over COVID, the misinformation, the baloney tug of war between neighbor, pitting neighbor against neighbor. It is time to end this insanity. I have children who have children, and depending on where they live, in some cases, they send the kids to school with a pocket full of masks, and they have to wear the mask. And in other cases, it's a free-for-all. So it's eeny, meeny, miny, mo. And my kids come to me for advice. And frankly, I don't know what to tell them. What do you think? It's interesting. You didn't name the states or where you were from, but your timing of this email from just a day ago, you have governors in four states saying they're going to lift the mask requirements in schools by the end of February or March because of Omicron surge easing. So those states were New Jersey, Delaware, Connecticut, Oregon. And this is what the deal is. This is what the deal is, Carl. It's the states deciding. It's the governors deciding what to do. It's local governments really caught in the vice of this, trying to figure out the virus restrictions, which ones to keep in place and which ones to say later to this, right? I mean, it's a weird time. Do you have the sense that the virus is never going away? Is it an endemic? Is there a way to coexist with it? Yes, there is a way to coexist with it. If many of us aren't in the high-risk category, let's help the most vulnerable people, and the rest of us keep on ticking, right? I mean, doesn't that make sense? Help the most vulnerable. Push the efforts in that direction. It's happening by force because those are the people sometimes that are showing up in the hospital because of obesity or underlying conditions or not vaxxed or whatever the scenario is. But that makes sense to me, right? It's interesting, too, that, you know, you look at this, some of the states that I just mentioned, blue states moving to relax COVID restrictions ahead of the midterm election that are coming up eventually here, right? So the Democrats are projected to have some heavy losses. And could it mean that the chambers of Congress go in one direction or another? Yes, it could mean that. Like New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy called the move a huge step back to normalcy for our kids and said individual school districts will be free to continue requiring masks after the state mandate ends in March 7th. So they're throwing it into the school board's lap, too. That's been happening since the beginning. I mean, there's even been a parody on Saturday Night Live about people arguing at school board meetings. California has plans to end its indoor masking requirements for vaccinated people next week, but masks still the rule for school children in the most populous state. How do you figure out what it is? How do you make sense of it? I said Connecticut, so Governor Ned Lamont recommends the statewide mandate in schools and child care centers, so child care spots, ends on February 28th. It is a quandary, and my advice is, you know, you have to, if the kids are going to school and this is the rule and the hard and fast rule, whatever the hard and fast rule is, you have to go to the school board meetings, you have to pay attention and let your voice be heard on this debate over masks in schools. And it's very polarizing in most of the U.S. because you've got a lot of parents protesting at school board meetings. And you've got pro and anti-mask candidates that want school board seats to try to shape some of these policies. What do they say from the White House? They say universal mask wearing in schools is still our recommendation. But she didn't, you know, Jen Psaki, who is the mouthpiece, the press secretary at the White House, she didn't clobber the states that decided to drop the requirement. And what do they say? It's up to the school districts. It's up to the school districts. That's what we say. That's our point of view. So, I mean, there you go. Eight Republican-led states, Florida and Texas, they have bans on school mask mandates. Some have been suspended with legal fights with districts and parents who want to require masks. Ay, 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 ay. It is a nightmare if you're a parent, right? And you look at how many kids... you look at the number of kids infected and the hospitalizations, and with the Omicron dropping down and the cases declining in 47 states over the past 2 weeks, if you look at Johns Hopkins information, well, you know, there you go. And you can find mothers and parents who say they don't agree with the mask mandates. Choice. They want choice. So decide what you want to do. You know, the easiest way to tiptoe around this for schools is, look, virtual learning or coming back to the class. And if you want to wear a mask, go ahead, but we don't have it. We don't have a mask policy, period, end of story. So we're offering you virtual learning. You stay at home and you don't have to come to school. But there's tensions and problems with that, though, too, definitely. Speaking of tensions, how about this one from Jack? He's listening to us in the great state of Texas. Yo, Miss Kate. Oh, the Russians are coming. The Russians are coming. You think Putin is going to back down? Hell to the hell. No, he's not going to back down. Honestly, if you know any Americans in the Ukraine, they need to get out now. I cannot imagine that there's not going to be some kind of invasion. And shame on Joe if he doesn't come out stronger. Well, I mentioned this at the top. He has come out stronger with the pipelines, you know, talking about that if that has to be cut off, they're going to cut it off. And then he also said any Americans that aren't essential need to leave the Ukraine. And this was during a press conference with the German Chancellor Olaf Scholz at the White House after the two met for talks about this crisis. And he's very worried, I think, the Germans are, over Nord Stream 2, which is their Russia to Germany natural gas pipeline that they are dependent on. There has to be an alternative. If there's an alternative, then Putin doesn't have a play there. But what is the alternative that can immediately be jumped into place? But there's no question the tension is not exaggerated. It's high. And then you've got winter weather that's going to soar the gas prices. So that affects the people in Europe, especially in Germany. It'll be costly if Russia invades. It'll cost them. It'll cost the Ukraine a lot of lives. It will, because they'll be right in the middle of it. How far can these refugees go? What are they going to do? And then there will be a lot of refugees. This one is from Susan, and Susan says, "Hello, Kate Delaney. Because of you, I started watching the Olympics, and I feel like I need to support the athletes. So here and there, I'm doing that. I think it's atrocious, the human rights violations that China gets away with. I do think that they also are pulling the strings behind the scenes with Putin and so many other little list items I could tick off as to why the Chinese tick me off. And I think that when I look at it on the surface, it makes me not really care about the games, but I do believe it is about supporting the athletes, and so we did send athletes there, for goodness sake. I hope that Americans are at least, if they're not watching, cheering them on. Well, I agree with that. If you're not watching, I hope you are cheering them on. Why would you want them not to do well? I mean, yes, that's exactly what we want, because it takes a lot of guts and courage and so many other things and fortitude, tenacity to be able to stick in there and do what you have to do to make an Olympic team in the United States, any Olympic team. It's not an easy thing. It's starting young and it's giving up a lot of life, you know, passages of life that you would normally go through, school time here and there, proms, social events, other social events. And you could say, oh, boo-hoo, but seriously, a lot of these families, they don't come from serious big time money. A lot of these athletes, they are grinders. And I say bravo to anybody who puts themselves in that position and then can, at a young age, mentally have the mental fortitude to do what so many of them have done. You know, with just having Nancy Kerrigan on, everything that she went through, winning the bronze medal, then coming back in Lillehammer and winning a silver medal, then going through everything that she went through with the Tonya Harding nonsense, the Jeff Galuli thing that just made huge headlines and became an attraction, a bizarre side note, a distraction to what was happening on the ice. All right, this one is from Sam I Am. Kate, make it simple. What do you think? Who wins the Super Bowl? Is it Cincinnati or is it the Rams? Well, make it simple. It's Cincinnati. I think Joe Burrow pulls it off. He does. Although I believe we'll see a close game, and certainly the Rams are capable of the win, but I don't have to defend my pick. It is, to me, the Bengals all day long in a squeaker. I think they have the better leg. If it comes down to kicking, I like their odds there, and I like their odds with Joe Burrow, too, as well. All right, stay with us. We're talking about safety, internet safety, and such things you need to know as a parent, grandparent, or just anybody, frankly.
The The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Erica Suter joins us, and boy, it is so good to have her on this show. She's a nationally recognized expert on parenting, and we've been talking a lot on this show about the amount of time spent online and what happens. And you think of Safer Internet Day, which is celebrated globally on February 8th, and this is the perfect time to talk to Erica about being a parent and what parents can do to stop and evaluate how their kids are spending time online. So, Erica, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me, Kate.
So why is it important for parents, it seems obvious, but why is it important for parents to talk to their kids about internet safety? Because maybe the kids don't really understand what's out there, right?
Well, we're living in a world where 93% of the kids ages 6 to 12 have access to a smartphone or tablet. That means kids younger and younger are communicating online. And it's really important to start telling them what we expect from them, what's right and wrong, how to be good digital citizens as early as possible.
So what are some of the tools, because I think this is going to be so key for people, what are some of the tools parents can use to help kids be safe online or be safer?
You know, I talk to a lot of parents who are languishing. They don't know how to set up these conversations or how to teach their kids what is right and wrong about being online and dealing with technology. So even in my own house, I struggled with this for a while, but I have found amazing tools. And one of them is Messenger Kids. Now, it's a really great resource for parents because it starts your kid on a messaging app but it gives you a lot of control and oversight. So there's a dashboard where I approve all of my son's contacts. That's who he can reach out to and who reaches out to him. But I can also download all of the messages he sends out and the messages that he receives. But my favorite part of the app is the Messenger Kids pledge, which is be kind, be respectful, be safe, and have fun. And it's not just something they're just trying to tell the kids to do, but they're interactive games that teach young children what all of those mean and how to live those skills.
Yeah. And it depends on the age of the kids, right? So with teenagers, older kids might be more resistant. So how do you really get to them and teach them about healthy boundaries?
Right. So many parents are like, oh, my God, there's nothing I can do to help my teen with this. But there is. I'm telling you, there is hope out there. Do not give up. And I have a teenager, and he uses Messenger. And what I make sure to do is I arm him with all the tools that help him make smart decisions and create boundaries. Of course, we talk about what is right, what is wrong, what kinds of messages he should be sending out, and what is okay for him to receive. But I also want him to know about the block feature, which means if someone makes him uncomfortable or sends something he doesn't like, he can block them. But there's also a restriction feature because we know teens and their relationships go up and down. But so he can restrict certain people, which means that person can't see if he's using the app or they can't see when he has read messages. And then, of course, there's the reporting feature. So I want him to feel empowered to make smart decisions that keep him safe. He learns those now. Our kids learn these things now. It takes them through to adulthood.
Yeah. Wow, good stuff. Where can our listeners go for more information, Erica?
Well, for more information, you want to go to messengernews.fb.com. It's a great resource to find out how to keep your kids safer online. But one other thing, parents, you are the best role model your kids can have. So they're watching you. So how you relate to people online, how you use technology, is going to affect how they use it as well.
Yeah. Erica Suter, a nationally recognized expert on parenting. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we move to a couple of quick headers here, things that happen that you might not have heard, some actually really sad things, two of them very, very sad, and one of them is this story that happened in a Washington grocery store shooting, one killed and one injured, and the suspect still on the run. So this was Southeast Washington where this happened. A man opened fire inside the store. One person died. Another was injured. It happened in a Fred Meyer store, which that's a popular store, a chain in Washington and in Oregon. It happened about 11 in the morning. And the police scanner radio just kind of had a timeline of the officer's effort to clear the store in throughout the afternoon. They helped shoppers and workers escape and everything that you could possibly imagine. The suspect was armed with a handgun, fled, and his motive is unknown. Were specific people targeted? What happened? What was the reason for that? And they're telling people still, if you see the suspect, call 911. They've released a portrait, but they have they had video of it from the camera, video from a security camera in the store. The person wounded was a store employee taken to the hospital undergoing surgery or had surgery and was listed in critical condition. The suspect and the victim who died had an interaction before the shooting, according to the store video footage seen by the police. They still don't know what that conversation was about and if the two people knew each other. Wow. So we hate hearing that, right? Once again, you go to places where open fire, schools, churches, grocery stores, it's a world that we live in. And they've really been pushing everywhere they put schools on lockdowns even. They tweeted out everything they could to get people aware of who the individual was and what was happening. And still little is known yet at this point. But with that video, and it's very clear, I think they have a shot to get whoever that was. This story was just a crazy story to hear about. I been to this bridge, and many of you have traveled to Florida, you know the drawbridges that go up. A woman fell to her death on Sunday afternoon from this rising drawbridge that started to open before she could move off of it. She was walking off the bridge, I guess, with a bicycle, and she was within about 10 feet of the barrier arms, you know, that they have up there that stop traffic when the drawbridge just started to rise. So she just started careening into the open chasm there. There was a man on the other side of the barrier. He grabbed her as she fell, but could not hold on. So she fell 50 feet to her death. She was walking her bike from east to west and had almost reached that furthest point when that happened. He just could not hold on and was just inconsolable. I guess afterwards she fell, would be the equivalent of 5 to 6 stories below. But why the drawbridge rose before all the pedestrians had a chance to clear it, that's odd. So they recovered her body, and it's a crime investigation. They're trying to figure that out, and they had to close the bridge for, I guess, 6 hours. This was in West Palm, you know, Palm Beach, Florida, where we're talking about, and those bridges are common. And it's, you hardly ever hear of this. I can't remember the last time that I heard of somebody in this situation where they fell off the bridge. And how sad for, I mean, how wonderful that the guy tried to help her, but how sad that she could not, you know, be saved from that. But was that go straight up, it would be pretty difficult. I can see how hard it would be to hold on. And she obviously could not hold on. So that's exactly, you know, what happened. And I look at that bridge and I think, how many times have I gone over bridges like that? And I have seen pedestrians walking over it, but I can't imagine that it would not, they would not stop, that the person who was going over wouldn't have been stopped. So that doesn't make any sense to me. And there must be some kind of further explanation, I would think. I would think there would be something that we would find out probably as a result of that. All right, I mentioned that Valentine's Day is coming up, and a couple of you actually sent me emails about what's a good Valentine's gift? I mean, come on, guys, really? And these were from two different guys. Chocolate, let's go traditional. Chocolate, flowers, how about flowers, especially if you're not a big flower giver. And it can, you know, it can be a simple making dinner thing. Making dinner and clearing all the dishes. How about that? what partner doesn't want that to happen? Really? You're making the meal and you're cleaning every single piece of it up. Well, that's a pretty good deal, I would say. So maybe it's something like that. I am not the expert on love gifts, I will tell you that, however. But they're everywhere. It's very easy to find something, guys. Come on, I know you can do it. Just don't give a gift card. And for goodness sake, give a card. Give a card. Make a card if you have to, but give her a card. How's that for advice? Music means I gotta step aside. Thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.